Joining us now is Eli Lake, who has written this piece. And again, all roads go back to Susan Rice. Eli, good to talk to you. How are you?
I'm good. Thanks for having me on.
Well, this popped on my Twitter feed, and I'm thinking, okay, Susan Rice, man, she can't escape controversy. She's at that UN ambassador, and then she lies on the Sunday shows, then she goes to NSC, and now she's involved in this. So tell us why Susan Rice would have wanted the identities of all of these people unmasked, both during the campaign, it looks like, and after the election during the transition.
Well, the issue here is, you know, we don't really know what's in the reports. My understanding is that the rules that allow someone at the White House, a senior person, to ask for names to be unmasked are fairly loose. You just have to show that it has some sort of foreign intelligence value. And at that point, you can pretty much get, you know, what you want. And, you know, that is a very loose standard because you could pretty much say that applies to anything. And the issue here, and you got to remember what Devin Nunes said initially about this, is that these reports had nothing to do with Russia. So we could understand, given, you know, the fact that there was, you know, the intelligence community had said the Russians had tried to influence the election, so that if there were conversations with, you know, the Russian ambassador or the Russian officials,
right,
that would be of interest to the National Security Council. Although we should say that even still, the fact that Mike Flynn's name and details of his conversations with Ambassador Kislyak were disclosed to the Washington Post and other news outlets is itself a huge issue in terms of, and a crime, but also a major issue in terms of seeing that kind of wiretap information find its way into the press when it involves a U.S. official. And I've been banging on about that for 6 weeks, saying that this is something where we really have to be very careful about making sure the power of the government to eavesdrop on communications is not used for political ends. And this clearly had a political benefit to the opponents of the Trump administration because it forced Flynn to resign. But let's put all that aside. These reports were just kind of routine things talking about what foreign diplomats thought of the Trump transition, and as I said in the piece, you know, what their ideas on policy were, according to foreign, you know, sort of people who had met with them, and in some cases, the names of Trump kind of advisors who had been meeting with or talking with people who were surveilled by, you know, the U.S. intelligence.
But why was she doing this? Why is this being done? I mean, it looks like they're trolling for information. I mean, to the outside person who's not an expert on these things like you are or others, it looks like they want to, like, troll for information. They're trolling.
I think the scandal here is that it's probably legal to do this and that it's a situation where
I don't understand how it's legal. Just explain that to me. I'm not getting that at all.
Okay. Well,
seems like a sham to me. Seems like a sham excuse. Oh, this Russia thing's going on. So can you unmask all this stuff that she probably had a hunch was related to Trump?
Right. And the point is that you, because the standard is so low for unmasking. So you have to say, I think it has some foreign intelligence value, right? So if, you know, in the final days or weeks of the Obama administration, and you're thinking about, all right, well, what is our Japan policy going to be? And then you see, oh, wait a second, here's a report that clearly applies, that looks like it's the Trump transition team meeting with people who are, you know, Japanese diplomats. Well, let's unmask those names so we can get better information for our foreign intelligence. Well, that's technically okay, but at the same time, given the timing of it, during a transition when the opposition party is coming into power, it looks like a kind of politicization of surveillance, which is really bad and probably requires a change to the law and a change to the policy. And that's, I think, an important issue, which is that it may have been technically legal and also incredibly improper for her to do all of that. But it also, you know, it gets back to a longstanding issue that really predates Trump. I mean, there was a big story for the national security types like myself a year and a half ago where the Wall Street Journal broke an amazing piece of information, which is that the White House was getting information on members of Congress and members of Jewish organizations as they met with senior Israeli officials who were legitimately monitored by the U.S. government during the Iran deal fight. So if you remember, the Republicans were opposed to the Iran deal. The White House was in campaign mode pushing for that as their foreign policy legacy. And while this was going on, conversations between Benjamin Netanyahu, Ambassador Ron Dermer, and members of Congress and other Jewish organizations that were opposed to the Iran deal were finding their way to the White House. And this was something that prompted, at the time, Devin Nunes, the chairman of the Intelligence Committee, and Adam Schiff, the ranking member, to try to come up with new procedures and policy for dealing with that very sensitive information on who was incidentally collected. So this has been on the radar of people in sort of national security world and also civil liberties groups for some time. It was a big issue that was brought to the floor for, I guess you could say, almost 4 years ago when the Edward Snowden documents dropped. So this has been something that's been on the mind, I'm saying, of the wonk types. And here we're seeing the same kind of pattern, it appears, applied to the Trump transition from Susan Rice, who was the national security advisor. Again, she was cleared to get all that information. Is a fairly low bar to get it. But the fact that she was doing that, it didn't appear to have anything to do with Russia, raises this question of, was surveillance information politicized? And it's looking more and more like that's the case.
Yeah, I mean, the real conspiracy theorists out there will think this was, they were hoping to collect little nuggets that could be used in the future to try to bring down Trump in some way, shape, or form. I mean, whether it was conflicts of interest or Trump officials or, you know, all the way to impeachment. I mean, I do see why people are already jumping to that conclusion, because it just looks terrible.
Also remember that we saw, I mean, two pieces of information I think are very important to the story. The first is, it was a really bizarre transition. You had Obama acting as if he was going to remain president from a policy perspective. He was doing a number of things, giving a lot of, you know, donating money to the climate change fund, the UN resolution on Israel. And there's a ton of stuff that he was doing that normally you wouldn't see in a transition period where you're trying to prepare for the next president. And then you also saw on the Trump side, to be fair, a lot of meetings and kind of contacts with foreign officials that had to do with foreign policy that also seemed like it was sort of, against the tradition of one president at a time, to use the expression. So all of that said, you had a situation where there was already great paranoia from the Obama team when it came to this stuff. And that's where I think maybe they had this sort of thing. But I think it looks like, and we'll find out more, but I'd like to know, was this standard operating procedure in the last couple of years of the Obama administration? We know that something like this happened when it came to the Israelis, members of Congress.
Who else?
When else did it happen? And I think, as American citizens, it should change. And I would just add one more point on this. Democrats who have been fighting this tooth and nail and have tried to make the story about Devin Nunes and his weird story about briefing the president on something he almost definitely knew about, considering the White House general counsel was reviewing this stuff, you know, that they ought to be like congratulating Devin Nunes and others for bringing this to, you know, our attention, because Donald Trump's the president now. I'm of the view that they're not going to be able to impeach him. So if Susan Rice and Barack Obama can do this to Donald Trump, then Donald Trump can do this to his political opposition. And the Democrats would, I would imagine, have an interest in making sure that the rules were tightened up so that they couldn't.
This is what Susan Rice said, as you quoted in your piece on PBS's NewsHour when asked about this.
I know nothing about this. I was surprised to see reports from Chairman Nunes on that count today. The President of the United States accused his predecessor, President Obama, of wiretapping Trump Tower during the campaign. Nothing of the sort occurred, and we've heard that confirmed by the director of the FBI, who also pointed out that no president, no White House, can order the surveillance of another American citizen.
That's not the point. Whether they're wiretapping, you don't have to wiretap. She knows that, though. She knew that at the time. But at least the beginning of that answer seems disingenuous now to me.
Well, I mean, let's be real. You know, Donald Trump created a little bit of this problem for himself.
Yeah, with a tweet.
Imprecisely about what happened.
When she said, I know nothing of this, she's playing cute there, because she knows a lot of what was done to request the names of Trump transition officials during this interim period. So when she says, I don't know anything about that, that's a clever little a clever little dodge. I mean, she obviously didn't offer the information of, well, I asked for a lot of these people to be unmasked. I mean, she didn't offer that up.
Yeah, I mean, this is a situation where I think she should amend and revise her remarks. I'd like to sort of know more about it. And again, this is one of these areas where, you know, we in the press, because it's such a highly classified kind of program, we're still learning about these procedures. So it took me really like a few weeks to understand how all this stuff works. And, you know, that's another part of it, which is that this is like one of these situations where you have a very secret program of how the government collects and monitors, you know, electronic communications. And this is the first time we're really starting to see it getting national political attention like this. And I would hope that it would lead to, in some ways, some reforms, because I do think it's entirely inappropriate. It seems like a way to get around the protections that were introduced in the 1970s through the Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Act, which were meant to protect American citizens from sort of warrantless wiretapping. And it's usually an issue, by the way, that progressives are pretty concerned
about. Where's the ACLU? Where are all these groups? I mean, they're out there protesting Gorsuch. I understand that. But what about that? I'm so glad you did this story, Eli. You're so terrific. You've been doing such great reporting for so long on a myriad issues, and this is just another feather in your cap. Thank you for bringing this story to us, and we look forward to having you back.
Thank you.
All right.
Thank you very much.
All right. No problem. We'll take a break. Get to your call. Susan Rice, no big deal. It's all legal. Does this make you feel good, bad, indifferent? Don't go away.
The Laura Ingraham Show.